EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, and a very happy new year to you. May the new year bless you with health, love, and happiness. And to kick off the first episode of 2022, we are going to be in the company of Brian from New Jersey. And Brian will be sharing his paranormal experiences that began in the fall of 1988. But first of all, a big thank you to everyone that has supported the podcast in one way or another. And to all our new patrons of the show on Patreon, like Gary, Tice, Ethan, Brooke, Debo, and Cassandra, thank you all. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Welcome, Nick. Thank you very much.
It is wonderful to have you to join us today, and you're calling from New Jersey.
That's right, in the good old US of A.
Good old US of A. And you've had a series of unexplained events and incidents which began in your late teens. Would you like to begin there for our listeners, please, sir?
Sure. It had begun originally in my senior year of high school, so this is in the fall of 1988. I started having what I now know, of course, are out-of-body experiences. I did not know what they were then. I never heard of them. And, of course, there was no internet back then to do any research. So these experiences were interesting because I would feel myself floating. The first few times, I didn't even see anything. But I would float. I would do somersaults. And I said to myself, my gosh, if this is a dream, this is the most realistic dream I've ever had. So those kept happening here and there. And but then what happened, because mind you, I wasn't giving much thought to spirituality or the unexplained at that age. I just kind of brushed those experiences off as just some bizarre dreams. What the first real thing that took place that opened my eyes and forced me to have to examine the nature of reality, or at least the nature of reality as I saw it, was later on in the year. This was in the spring. It happened to have been a Friday, and my family had a beach house down the shore, as we call it. We call it down the shore here in New Jersey because we have the Jersey Shore. So I had just gotten my license a little bit before that, and I was going to take the car, and I was going to drive down to the house because I had left school early. I had some free periods. But before I did that, I said, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go visit my family's burial plot. Now, I don't know too many 18-year-olds who say, I want to go visit my family's burial plot, but for whatever reason I did, only because I come from a very large family that has been in the same town that I currently live in since the 1880s, and they were among the founders of the town, and I never knew any of them. They were all deceased before I was born, and they were, by all accounts, wonderful people. I grew up hearing stories from everyone in the township about how wonderful they were, especially my great-grandfather, who was a very successful man in the silk business, and he was someone who helped hundreds of people throughout the Depression to get by. And so I always had this curiosity about them, not to mention I grew up and still own now the house that was my grandfather's. So there are pictures of them all over the place. The house is almost like a museum, if you will, to the family, with all the photographs, the furniture, the rooms. My grandfather was a lawyer. His law office is still here. Looks the same for the past 60 years. So I go to visit the plot, and the family name is Carella, C-A-R-E-L-L-A. And the cemetery is a town over, and it is one of the largest cemeteries in the nation. So I went and I visited the plot. You know, okay, there it was. And then I wanted to go and visit my Uncle Chickie's plot. My Uncle Chickie, whom I did know, he died a year earlier, but he was buried because he wasn't a Carella. He was an in-law. He was buried in a different plot. So I started to go to where I thought it was because I was at his funeral, but the cemetery was so big, I couldn't find it. And I drove around and around and around because he was right by the road. I wouldn't have had to have gotten out. It was literally right there, but I couldn't find him. So anyway, I then drive down the shore, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away from my home here in Lyndhurst. I pull up, and there on the house next door is the kid from who lived there and his friend. Now, this young man, if I were 18, he was 16. He had lost his father, his stepfather, his grandfather, and his cousin in a 2 to 3 year period. So you can only imagine the impact that it had on such a young man. And he had begun doing the Ouija board, and I was seeing him doing it regularly because I'm sure he was looking for answers. But I didn't believe in it at that time, and I thought it was nonsense. But I also didn't think it was healthy for him to be doing this. So I walk up on the porch, and I looked at the two of them. They were sitting on the floor doing it. I said, oh, come on, guys. Why are you doing this all the time? This isn't good. You shouldn't be doing it. So they had this brilliant idea that I'm going to show them that it's a bunch of nonsense. Now, the most important thing to remember here for anyone listening is that they were the ones doing the Ouija board. I wasn't. And the story I'm about to tell, I was not touching the Ouija board. If I were, I would have dismissed it all. But these two were, and these two were 16-year-olds from my shore community who never heard of my family, never knew any of their names, much less how to spell them, and knew nothing about what I was doing that day because, again, I came from an hour and a half north. So I said, all right, ask it if there's a spirit of mine on the board. And, of course, it goes to yes, you know, and I'm rolling my eyes. I said, all right, who? It spells out Grandpa Carella. Now, that wasn't my grandfather because even though I didn't know my grandfather, because he had died before I was born as well, he was always referred to by my brother and sister, who were far older, as Poppy. Grandpa Carella was my great-grandfather, the man who was in the silk business. And that's how we all referred to him, as Grandpa Carella. So it spelled it correctly. And all of a sudden, I'm standing there. And again, I'm not touching it. And I'm saying to myself, what is going on here? You know, I was dumbfounded. I really didn't know what to say. And I began to think that, you know, I'm going through my mind saying, what could be doing this? And I'm thinking to myself, maybe I'm influencing this with my thoughts. You know, what else could I think? So I begin to focus on the word cemetery because I knew that I was there that day. Because after all, if this is Grandpa Carella, well, I visited his grave. So I'm focusing on the word cemetery. And I ask the next question. I say, okay, where was I today? And it begins to spell out Hoboken. Now, that was true because I went to a prep school. I had to take a train from Lyndhurst to Hoboken, and from there I switched from Hoboken and went to Jersey City. So that was true. And again, these boys knew nothing about that. So then I asked the question, no, where else was I today? And mind you, I'm using all of my mental ability to focus on the word cemetery, because I'm trying to figure out if it's my thoughts, you know, thought transference or something that's having an effect on this. And then it spells out Jersey City. And I'm like, okay, I was in Jersey City. So far, this thing's telling me everywhere I was today. And at this point, I'm getting a little heated, and I'm actually pointing at the board, which is rather humorous. But I was pointing at the board, and I get cross with it, and I say, no, where specifically was I today? And then what it spelled out literally raised the hair on the back of my neck. It spelled out, with me. And my mouth dropped. I looked at the two kids and I said, I visited his grave today. And then their mouths dropped because they didn't know anything about my ancestors, my family, or what I did. And meanwhile, they're hearing this and they were as dumbfounded as I. So then I said, all right, well, who was I looking for today? And son of a gun, it spells out Uncle Chicky. At that point, I said, all right, that's it. Put it away. I didn't know what to do. I was half freaked, half fascinated, because I couldn't say that this thing is bunk at this point, because it literally not only told me everything I did that day, but what really got me is that it knew what I was thinking, because I never said to anybody I was looking for Uncle Chicky's grave. I never even said to anybody I went to the cemetery. And when I was at the cemetery looking for Uncle Chicky's grave, I never was saying out loud, Uncle Chicky, where are you? It was just, it knew what I was thinking. So I learned that at that point, I was faced with the reality that there's obviously something more going on than we know. There's obviously more to reality. Now, whether or not that was actually my great-grandfather, that I don't know. I can't answer that. But something knew what I was doing, and it was something that was unseen. So that started me off with this idea that, well, there must be a spirit world, because I never really gave it any thought. As a matter of fact, I was always a very logical individual. I was always a Star Trek fan. Spock was always my favorite character because of his logic. And I was always extremely left-brained and very pragmatic. So it just didn't, I couldn't wrap my mind around it. Well, anyway, that was the end of that story. And then what began to happen was I began to keep having unexplained experiences. Now, I had many of them. I'm obviously, or this would be a 6-hour show. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to put some of them, some of the highlights of specific ones in a specific order. Because remember, this is, we're talking about a 30-year period here. So anyway, that very summer, I came home to the family home up here from the shore for a visit, because I would spend the whole summer down there as it was, and I would only come up north a couple of times. I go into my grandfather's law office, and his desk is there, his library, his books. In fact, even the bookmarkers are still in the books, untouched after all these years. And my grandfather has this big desk, big wooden desk, and it has a glass, has a piece of glass on the top of it. So, you know, you're not writing on wood, you're writing on glass. Under the glass, now, I just so you know, nobody went in that office often. The door was always closed. There was no reason to go in there. I went in there. I walked in, and I see under the glass, between the top of the desk and the glass, is a photograph of Uncle Chicky. And it happened to have been a photograph that I had taken. And I walked out, and I, you know, went up to my family members, because at that point, my brother and sister were older, married, out of the house. And it would only have been my mother and father here, but we did have, you know, my brother would bring his kids to go swimming in the swimming pool. So I was always thinking, well, maybe somebody went in there, but why would they put this under the glass? Well, I asked everyone, and nobody could explain it. Nobody knew how it got there, and nobody knew what I was talking about. So another time in this same office, I walked in there, and there were two law books taken out of the top shelf. And they were laid down on the library table. And I did the usual. I said, okay, who did this? Who took the books out? I mean, and why would anybody take out these old law books that are probably useless at this point? Nobody had an answer for me. My mother said, well, maybe it was your nephew, Nick. I said, Mom, Nick is 2 years old. He's going to climb the bookcase. First of all, my sister-in-law would never let him out of her sight for long enough to go into that office and climb a bookcase and take those heavy, big books down, because, you know, law books are quite big. So I was dumbfounded. And so as this is going on, you know, back in those days, there really was no internet. There was no internet at all to turn to. So I tried my best to watch as many TV programs and to maybe get some books to read on what, you know, what's going on here with the spirit world and why is this happening here? Now, as I say, my home is a family home. It was never owned by anybody else. And many, many relatives and cousins, it's a very large home. So over the years, many relatives and cousins have lived here. And this house was always kind of the place where the family all came together because of its size. And it has a basement which looks like an old speakeasy. It's got two large rooms, one big room with a bar and a fireplace, and the other big room with a kitchen and a big dining area and bookcases. You know, it's all wooden. It's the old classical, old-fashioned, very old looking, and of course loaded with pictures on the wall of ancestors. So what happened over the years would be that I would, let's say, walk into a room or be in a room, leave the room and come back and find that something was moved. Many times it was pictures. Sometimes a picture, let's say, would be on a table, a picture standing up on a table would be rotated, would be either turned 90 degrees or sometimes it would be laid down. Other times, pictures seem to have been taken from one location and put in another. Books were always being brought out and laid out. So this was going on for years and years. Now, it never scared me because I figured, well, if this is my family, I have nothing to be afraid of. And I think that because I was so interested in my family history and in my family members, because I didn't know them, I learned to get to know them through everybody in the township who talked about them. And I always had that side of me that was very upset that I didn't get to know them, that they had all mostly died before I was born, except for my grandmother. I had, out of my four grandparents, three of them were deceased when I was born, and my mother's mother died when I was two. So I was always very upset that I didn't have grandparents growing up and that I didn't get to know these people. And I thought to myself, gee, is it possible that they're letting me know that they still exist? Where they are, that I don't know. But this went on and on and on. And it was, you know, there were periods of time where it wouldn't go on, but then all of a sudden, when you least expected it, this would happen. Now, some other interesting stories was, because many of these things happened to me alone, but, and not all of them involved my home or my family. Now, here's an interesting story. So in the mid-90s, my brother, who's now retired, but he was a police officer in our town here, in those days, it was very quiet at night, and I was a night owl back then. So I would drive around with him in the police car during the midnight shift. And one night at about 3 a.m., we're driving up a hill. To our left is a cemetery, not the same cemetery I was in with my other family. This is a cemetery in my town. Nowhere's near as big. But as we're looking in, we immediately notice that there's a group of what look like high school kids with about five cars in there. And of course, you couldn't miss them because the car headlights were on. It kind of looked like what you would see like in that movie, The Outsiders, or what kids would do in the 50s when they would meet in an open field and they would put the lights on for their cars. And that's how they would all hang out in the middle. That's exactly what we saw. And you could tell they were high school kids because they were wearing what looked like varsity jackets, although at the distance we were seeing them and at the speed at which we were going, we didn't take note of whether or not they were Lyndhurst, which is our town, or whatever town, because you couldn't see that. So my brother decides, all right, let's chase these kids out. He turns his headlights out, and he turns into the entrance of the cemetery. And, you know, they were out of our view for maybe 5-6 seconds or so. But once he got in there was nobody there, nothing. And there was no way the kids would have been able to get out of there without our running into them. And so we were dumbfounded. We were absolutely dumbfounded. Now, of course, I don't know who they were. That wasn't my family. But again, it was another thing that just kept knocking at me saying there's more to reality than we know. Because, you know, we live in a very... or at least we did live, not anymore. I think people today are awakening to spirituality and the unexplained, which I think go hand in hand. But materialism was always the norm. I mean, I was trained in that. I prided myself in being a materialist. I wasn't sure there was life after death because you couldn't prove it. And I still, no matter how many times these things happened to me, I still couldn't say definitively what they actually were. Because, again, they were experiences. That's all they were. So that happened. Then another time, I'm sitting at my dining room table with my mother, my father, and an aunt and an uncle. This is the day that we were going to a wake of one of my cousins. She had passed away from cancer. And we're sitting at the dining room table, and all of a sudden, we hear the loudest bang, not a bang that if somebody banged, let's say, their fist on a wall, but a bang as if you would have thought that a plane crashed into your house. It was incredible. So we all just look at each other, and then about a second or two later, the bang happened again. So two bangs. So I jumped out of my seat. I ran outside of the house expecting to see what in God's name could have happened. I expected to see something. Now, it happened to have been November, and here in November, in this part of the country, we get the the crows that come in huge flocks. You know, they'll come, and I have all these big oak trees on my front lawn, and they all descend onto all of the branches. So anyway, the crows were all filling the trees, and when I had run outside, I must have startled them because then they took off. So I knew whatever that bang wasn't outside. I went back in, I searched the house. I couldn't find any evidence of anything that happened. I thought maybe did a rock come out of the or boulder come out of the sky? I couldn't find anything. So anyway, I walked back in. We were all dumbfounded, and there was something inside of me. And then my aunt that was giving me the inclination that maybe this was Cousin Diane, who was letting us know that, hey, you know, I'm still somewhere. I'm still alive, but just not there anymore. So we kind of giggled about it, but boy, were we were dumbfounded. And in fact, my mother was like, my God, I've never heard anything like that in my life. So the next morning was the funeral. My mother and father had left with my aunt and uncle. I was still at the house. I hadn't left yet. And I'm in the kitchen, and I hear my tambourine shake. I had a tambourine in my bedroom on the table. And I heard it go, you know, that as if somebody shook it. So I kind of smiled and I said, okay, Diane, if that's you, I hear you. And I'm happy to know that, you know, you're still with us. So these things just continued and continued. And finally, I was just faced with the reality that there must be a real spirit world. And but I didn't want to talk about it openly. It was the kind of thing that if you really talked about these things, people would think you were, may think you were crazy. So finally, I began to read spiritual books and I started meditating in 2015. And that seemed to begin to open up my spiritual eyes, and I started having the out-of-body experiences again. I had also, at this point, had read the book Journeys Out of the Body by Dr. Robert Monroe. So I learned a great deal about what was happening, because one of the reasons why I used to think that they were dreams is because when I would, quote unquote, come out of body, the furniture in my room or in the house looked different. I may have seen like the old wallpaper or the old sofa. So I'm like, well, this has to be a dream because these things aren't here anymore. Well, it turns out that when people come out of body and they're in the astral realm, so to speak, you're basically in your astral version of your home, and the astral realm is more thought form. So you wind up seeing things that either used to be there or maybe things you've even thought about putting there. So that was very, very fascinating. But an interesting anecdote one day about I'm sitting in my room, and I happen to be looking at pictures of Grandpa Carella again. And I'm probably the only member of my generation that even cared about him, because I was the only one really among the cousins who grew up in this town. So I was the one who heard all the stories. I took a very strong interest in him. Now, I'm looking at pictures of him, and I happen to have my smart TV on, and I had it set to YouTube, but it was on the, you know, the opening screen where you can choose whether recommended or subscription. I had it open. I put the pictures down. I get up to go down the hall to go to the bathroom. And all of a sudden, I hear music playing. And I stick my head out. I walk back into the room. And there's a song playing on YouTube. And the song was Charlie, My Boy. Now, Charlie, My Boy was a song from the 1920s, which I had read in a news article. My great-grandfather was founded one of the, you know, the social clubs. And they used to put their notes in every week about their meetings and what was going on. And I read one of them where it said that the bartender started singing Charlie, My Boy, and my great-grandfather would give him a dollar each time and said, keep singing it, because he loved the song. So I said to myself, now, how do you explain that? How do you know what would cause that song? Now, in full disclosure, I did have that song saved, but I have about 1,200 favorites saved. So how that song would pop up at that moment blew my mind. So I thought to myself, this has got to be something coming at me from the other side. So the meditation and the spirituality brought me into a whole new place. As I said, I'm an educator. I created educational programs for high schools. I would teach communications, leadership, and social skills. And I began to just change. I felt that this is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be doing something else. So about 2 years ago, I was in meditation. And for the very first time, I had an experience where I guess you could say I received a download. It was I don't know how to explain it. I heard it was my voice inside of me, but it was speaking to me, not that I was making it up, because, you know, if you're trying to make up what you're saying in your mind, you have to think about it. You're thinking ahead of what you're going to say next. This was just receiving it. I received this download telling me, now this was what was really interesting. It told me that I was born where I was born, into the family I was born into, that this was all decided by me ahead of time to come in to this plane at this time. I chose my parents so that I would have specific genetic abilities or talents, latent talents, things. We all have different talents, and you know, you get a lot of that from your family and from your DNA and from your genetics, including my voice, by the way, because I use it to speak and teach and in politics. I was, you know, everybody knows me for my voice. They always say, hey, it's the guy with the voice. I was always able to get the students' attention. Kids, I'd walk into the room. The moment I opened my mouth, all the kids were just, wow. You know, so I had all of these talents and abilities. And this download was literally giving me the instructions, telling me why I came when I did, how I did, and that I was coming to teach and help people discover who they are spiritually. And I was like, wow. As a matter of fact, no sooner was I done with my meditation, I quickly typed it out because I didn't want to forget it. And it was, to this day, one of the most astounding things. I never had anything like that happen to me. And even though I get ideas, every idea that comes to me comes from somewhere, who knows where, but I never had multiple sentences spoken to me in my mind like that. Now, you can't tell that to too many people, because people will think maybe you're schizophrenic or something. Meanwhile, I'm here on an international podcast telling the story, but that's okay, because again, it has changed me to such a degree that I now know that I'm here for this purpose. So I have turned away from what I used to teach. And in fact, I started a blog. It's on Substack. It's called Your Great Awakening. Because what I saw was that there are so many areas out there to go and learn about being spiritual. And I do believe that with all of the insanity, if we want to call it that, all of the insanity taking place around the world right now, people are scared. People are confused. People just don't know. They're questioning reality. And I think they're asking these questions. And what's interesting, especially with your show being, you know, about named the UFO Chronicles, all of a sudden now people are okay about talking about UFOs. It wasn't always like that, as you know. I mean, that was the stuff of tinfoil hats 20 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, the government's telling us that we can, in fact, speak about it, that they are, in fact, real. So it moved me in a direction where I realized that there's no specific platform out there to help the average person who's never considered themselves to be spiritual to actually find out how they can grow spiritually. Because there is no one specific way. I mean, when I first started meditating, it was under the advice of a friend of mine who lived out in California. My attitude toward meditation was that I was going to have to put on a robe, wear sandals, grow my hair out, and chant and sit in a lotus position. And I was, there was no way I was going to do that. And he said, no. So he explained to me what it was. And I realized, because now when I meditate, I pretty much just sit in a chair. I don't use anything. I was using binaural beats. I don't need them anymore. Yes, I don't need anything except I know how to control my breathing and I know how to bring my brain waves down to a theta level. And I love it. I could do it for about an hour and I wish I could do it all day. It has changed me. But when I've begun to live a more spiritual life, I've learned how to be guided and inspired by spirit. In essence, I almost have this internal monologue going all day long with, you can call it my higher self or spirit in general. And it has completely changed the course of my life, the direction of my life. And now it looks like it's actually leading to the change of a career, so to speak. Not so much a career, because I am in business for myself. But the crux of what I do has now become this. And it's very exciting. Yeah, I mean, I used to hold elected office as a politician because my family was always politically involved, although we weren't quote unquote politicians, as people think of the word. Thank God. I literally now, when I'm involved or around anything that's political, the vibration of politics, it makes me ill. I can't even go near it anymore. So it has completely changed me from the inside out. So it basically took years and years of all of these unexplained experiences to finally smack me enough to say, hey, there's more than you know. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Invite it. And it will reveal itself to you. And when I say that, I don't mean entities, because, again, I've never had any communication with my ancestors. I haven't heard from them. I haven't seen them. I've never seen a ghost, except if you want to talk about those high school students, I guess. When I say a ghost, I'm always talking about the typical weird thing, that the apparition that shows up. That, of course, to me was just totally bizarre. But it got my attention. Now, as I say, I don't know if all of that was actually my true ancestors. That I cannot know. But it was something, and it was something, obviously, that's been with me my whole life, that was trying to wake me up, get my attention, and get me into a different direction in life. And when I got that download a few years ago, that was just, that was amazing to me. And I've never been happier. I've never felt better. And I just can't wait to see what the future holds.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Can we have the name of that blog again, please, Brian?
Yes, it's Brian Haggerty, my name, BrianHaggerty, .substack.com. Substack is great because it's a free site where for writers, and anybody can subscribe. So I write a blog, and I only started it a couple of weeks ago, but what's wonderful about the writing process, and I've written several books, by the way, none of which, of course, have been about spirituality. They were about my communication, social skills, and things of that sort. I even wrote a book called How to Be a Successful Politician several years ago, and I know that that sounds like a crazy title, because people would say to me, wait a minute, what are you telling? You're teaching them how to be better liars? I said, no, on the contrary. In the book, I talk to them about how to become a good public servant. So, but the writing flows. I mean, when I'm writing these blogs now, I ask Spirit for guidance, give me the idea. And when I sit down, it just flows right out of me.
Because specialism can be very confusing for people, can't it?
Extremely.
Because, of course, you have meditation and then you have Reiki. You know, you have all these different types of new agey type stuff, which I think, like yourself, you know, you'd have to grow your hair long, grow a, you know, join a drum circle or stuff, you know. But, you know, you can just simply do it at home and you don't have to go off to the desert, do you?
I mean, you can do any of those things. It doesn't really matter. It's your intention. It's your heart. Because our heart, which is what I focus on every day, is really our connection to source or God or the creator, whatever the word is that people want to use. But it is the connection that we each have as unique, sovereign, eternal souls, which is what we are. And that's a realization that could only come to you over the course of time by literally exposing yourself to it. Now, one of the things I've learned to do, and this is a little exercise, I wrote one of my blog posts about this, is I put all of my focus in meditation on my heart, my energy center, because that is our most powerful energy center. And I visualize that it's always expanding, and I'm always breathing in and bringing in new source energy into me, and I'll breathe out stale, used energy so that it goes back to source and can be transmuted and be used for good again. I'm always grateful for it and thankful for it. So what I'll do now is, if I'm driving or if I'm in the supermarket or if I'm in the gym, because I work out of the house, so I mean, if I want to see people, I have to leave. I will visualize that there's a beam extending from my heart, engulfing that individual, and I will say in my mind, sending them the message that you are perfect and you are loved. And the amazing thing about this is that when we send the love of source, first of all, when we experience it ourselves, it's such an overwhelming, beautiful thing that, frankly, I wouldn't be able to function if I were in that state all day long. So it's something that I do every now and then. But when you send out that love, it's amazing what you get back. So rather than thinking angry thoughts or whatever the case may be, most people are judging others, and I learned to drop all of that. I've also learned not to allow the things that are going on in this world today to affect me personally. I acknowledge them. I see them for what they are. I have opinions about them, but I don't allow it to get me angry, because when I'm on Twitter, and I spend most of my time on Twitter, I have two Twitter accounts, the one that you and I are following each other on, then I have another one because I'm involved with cryptocurrency. So it's an older one, and there's many people, but I follow many spiritual people or people who have spirituality in their profile descriptions. But I see that there's so many of them, not all, but so many of them who are very, very angry. And I understand why they're angry. I get it. It's a righteous anger. But you're going to then put yourself in that reality. You will live under that reality if you're going to bring that vibration into you, because now you are subject to it. So I've learned, because, by the way, I went through that angry period. I've pounded my desk a few times reading some outlandish things that got me angry. I'm beyond that, though, thankfully. So now I could actually look at the world almost as an outside observer and learn that even the people around this planet doing horrific things, I've learned to send them love, because they're never, ever going to be changed through hateful or anger thoughts. The only way to change the world is through love. And if each and every one of us raise our vibrations, that's why I say that we are in a very unique time. There are many spiritual people and spiritual masters who are telling us that this is the Great Awakening. This is the ascension process. This has been known for, they say, thousands of years, that we were coming to this point where the old way of the world was going to be torn apart, which is why you're going to see great tribulations going on. People are fighting. People are angry. They're fighting now over, as you know, they're fighting over vaccines. They're fighting over politics. They're fighting over masks. They're fighting over freedom of speech. So these things basically have to happen, and we have to let them happen. And if we just focus everything from our heart and learn to live from our heart, our main energy center, each and every one of us can help raise the vibration of this planet one person at a time.
And you are absolutely correct. You know, I actually only had that conversation with my wife today about distancing yourself about everything which is happening at the minute, especially when it comes to politics. It can certainly make you sick. It can make you ill. Yeah. It can make you ill. And yeah, and there's so much anger going on in the world, you know, there's so much division and stuff. And it seriously needs to change. It's not good for people, not good mentally for people, as well as, of course, spiritually. I'm the same. I do believe we're on some kind of unusual transitional period. I'm not sure I'm really fond of the ascension side of it, because it's very much like the rapture, you know, but.
Yeah, well, I have my own views on that, which I'll explain, but go ahead.
But I do think there's going to be some kind of change going to happen. And I think, yeah, we do have to go through some pretty bad stuff before we can even reach that point.
I agree. And the ascension process, to me, and from what I've gathered from those whom I follow and those whom I've studied or learned from, we're not just going to disappear. It's not about that. It's really an ascension of consciousness. It's a return to who we really are, the heart center that we are, living from the heart and not living under the control of, let's say, the corruption. Because I would say that most people realize that every single solitary institution on this planet is pretty much corrupt. It doesn't mean everybody in it is corrupt, but the institutions are corrupt. And to navigate those institutions, you wind up being corrupt. Even if you didn't set out trying to be corrupt. And I see that in politics. I saw that constantly because that's where I came from. But to me, it's an ascension of consciousness, because I agree with you, this idea that all of a sudden people are just going to disappear. I, you know, again, for the ordinary person, that's not going to bring them into spirituality. They must understand that it's all within. Everything is within. There's nothing out there without. Our whole life, our universe, everything we know comes from within us. So that, to me, is where the ascension takes place, inside of ourselves, in our spirit.
I think the problem for me is because there's so many charlatans out there, you know, especially on the New Age circuit. And
they, oh, yes.
And, you know, it's very bad. And basically, they're selling ascension. That's how it goes for, I don't know, $300. You know, you can do this course and you ascend, you'll learn all this. And, you know, and to be honest with you, you know, if this was the case and people were given this information, it should be given free. You know, if you want to help people, if you want to help yourself, you want to change the world, you know, it would be free, wouldn't it, at the end of the day. So when I hear people selling these kind of rubbish, you know, it kind of makes me angry.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. No, I agree. As a matter of fact, since, again, on the topic of UFOs, I do read a great deal of information that is supposedly channeled from the Pleiadians, some of these other races. And I have no way of knowing whether or not any of this stuff is real, because, again, I've never had any firsthand interaction with an alien. I've never seen an alien. But I look at it this way. I read what is said. And as I always tell people, if what is being said, if it rings true to your heart, if it vibrates with you, if it makes sense to you on a soul level, then the information is good. Because I've read some stuff. I mean, I used to shake my head at these channelers years ago. And then I finally, in my spiritual journey, said, well, let me give them a listen. Let me hear what they're actually saying. And some channelers, I think, give quality information. Again, where's the source of it? Even the channelers will tell you, look, I can't say where this is coming from. All I know is this is what is coming to me. And I said to myself, well, I know what it is to get a download. It's just that these people seem to be doing it on a far larger scale. So apparently we're being helped by these alien races who have always been here. And I do believe they've been here. I don't believe aliens are a new phenomenon. I think anybody who's looked at ancient monoliths and ancient civilizations would agree that there must have been something far greater, a far greater technology back then. And I do think that if they've been around, I think they've been around forever, as far as we know. And supposedly they are here to help us in this process of healing the planet, bringing down the corruption that's worldwide, and pretty much helping people return to who they really are by discovering their heart connection to source. I think it shouldn't be overcomplicated. A lot of people do overcomplicate it. It's pretty much that simple. And for me, it resonates with me. It makes my heart sing. I'm led to it. I'm drawn to it. When I look back at the past 30 years, I'm astonished at how I've changed, how I've evolved. And I think I'm in a wonderful place, and I wouldn't trade where I am right now for anything.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of people at the minute that have had such huge, massive change in their life, whether, you know, they've lost their job and they've on a new career path. You know, there's many people which are on journeys. This change, it's like we're going into something, you know, things change, you know, whether it's for better or for worse. When people come together, when people have like mass meditation sessions around the world, you know, a lot of positivity used to come out of that. And it was a good thing, you know, and I think because there's so much division at the minute, all these kind of things are very broken down.
Yes. As a matter of fact, the Global Consciousness Project has actually been able to show scientifically that we can have an impact on the residents of the planet, because now they have these sensors around the planet, which will pick up on a change in the resonance. There's this thing called the Schumann resonance, which a lot of the New Age spirit people like to take snapshots of it and share it on Twitter, like, oh, big things happening today. And I'm like, well, what? What are you talking about? But at least I know that, yes, when we all come together, we have documentation where meditation can literally drop the crime rates in cities, can drop emergency calls, and can have long-lasting impact. And that's why when we get to a critical mass of people on this planet who have said, you know something, I'm done with this. I'm done with the way things are. I'm done with the rat race, done with trying to have more toys than the next guy, done with fear, done with the corruption that's going on. I want to live a simple life, but I want to be connected to my source, and I want to live a spiritual life. That is where I think we are headed. And when enough people do that, that's what's going to change the planet.
Yeah, and another thing to look at as well. So obviously, you know, you can have big change. So when people come together, you know, it's going to affect people, and in turn, it then affects the world. So I was thinking, there's been so much negativity for several months now. And if you look at the disasters that's actually happening in the world, you know, the volcanoes, the earthquakes, the flooding, the forest fires. So it makes wonder that all this negativity people have at the minute is having an effect on the planet.
Yes. Oh, I wholeheartedly agree, because on the one hand, you can love, bring the vibration of love higher, but you could also bring the vibration of everything else. And that's why I keep telling people, even on Twitter, I try to put tweets out saying to them, I know all of you people are well-meaning and that your anger is righteous, but you can't keep yourself in this vibration, because this is where you will stay and you will increase this. And if you allow that to continue in your life, you will become hostage to it. You will continue to get more of what you focus on, because we become what we focus on. Energy goes where energy flows. So if you want more love, you have to focus on love. If you want more fear, well, there's plenty of that to go around.
Plenty of that.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, Brian. I could listen to you all day.
Well, thank you, Nick. And the same here. I've enjoyed listening to your program. And again, I'm very grateful and honored that you've had me on. And I hope that if anything, I would just hope that my story will land on the ears that need to hear it. I mean, not, you know, we all have a story. We all have a path. It's different for everyone. The things that I say may not resonate with one person, but may resonate with another. So if somebody hears this and says, you know something, I'm going to give all of that a try, then I think that that's what it's all about.
Even if it's just one person, that's one person than it was before.
Sure. And then that one person leads to other people. So it's just a continuous progression. And as we keep going higher, and that's my wish and prayer for everyone, that this world heal and we vibrate and we raise our vibration, discover who we are, and build societies based upon love, not on fear and greed. We've had enough of that. It doesn't work. It's falling apart as we speak.
No, I agree with you. I mean, of course, things are quite uncertain, but still things happen, you know, and you have to distance yourself away. You know, you obviously don't want to put yourself into a little bubble, but you also want to appreciate what's going on out there, but also think about how it affects yourself and your family.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fear factor in this planet, especially since the virus came, you could just see people, you could see the fear in their eyes. And it was frightening for me. I personally was never afraid of it at all. But that's me. I'm at that point. Maybe 10 years ago, I would have been terrified. But just seeing people living in fear is a shame, because it has done a great deal of harm. And not only the virus, the results of the shutdown, suicides are up, depression is way up, alcohol. I have several friends who are basically their marriage is over now because of the lockdown, because they felt that they never expected to have to spend 24/7 with their spouse, and they realized they didn't have anything anymore. And that's so sad to see that happening.
Yeah.
So we need more love. We need less fear. Well, I only know what I know, and I'm just the sum total of all of my experiences. And I'm just so grateful for all of them, because I realize if they didn't all happen the way they happened, I wouldn't be where I am today, and I wouldn't trade where I am today. So I'm very grateful. And gratitude is such an important emotion and feeling to practice. And even when I get up in the middle of the night, I just go into a rampage of appreciation, thankful for my family, my friends, my health, thankful for hot. When I get in the shower, I'm thankful for hot water. I hate the heat. So in the summer, I'm thankful for air conditioning. There's so much for which to give thanks. And when we focus on those vibrations, it raises your vibration.
Well, Brian, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this for our listeners.
Nick, I really appreciate you having me. And, you know, talking with you, I feel like I've known you, you know?
I hear that quite a lot. And it's a good thing.
I mean, there you are. You're across the pond, as we say. But I feel like I've known you. So
keep in contact, Brian. Great speaking to you.
Same here, Nick. Again, thank you so much. Wonderful to meet you and speak with you. And I look forward to corresponding with you moving forward.
Great stuff. You enjoy the rest of your day, Brian, okay?
Thanks so much. You too, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care of yourself.
Wonderful night now. Bye-bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Brian for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.